Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Come on, why don't we give a hand to all of your local worship teams as they finish off right now. Well, as you would have heard, today is Building Our Future Sunday. But how many of you know that we've also got a great future in the Republic of Ireland? Great future in the Republic of Ireland. Over the last few weeks, God's actually been challenging me about looking at Cork differently. For those of you that don't know, we announced last year that we have been called to plant a campus, a church in the Republic of Ireland, in the city of Cork. And we were hoping to get our campus pastors, Pastor Roland and Leanne Murphy, there in December at Christmas time, and it's obviously been delayed by about 5 or 6 months. And we've been really praying for the sale of Roland and Leanne's business. We're going to continue to do that. We're really believing that. But the Lord really challenged me about looking at our church plant a little bit differently. And up until now, we've really been believing, and we still are, that there'll be a release in the legalities of the sale of the business for Roland and Leanne, so they can start the campus over there. But the Lord really actually challenged me about looking at it differently. He said, why don't you start the campus anyway? Because there are people that are ready to go. People that are ready to go. And concurrently with that conversation with God, sometime last year, Kristen Willett actually came to Chrissy and I and just shared about the season of transition that she'd been feeling in her own heart with her current role here on staff as our events coordinator and events and event services, and began to share her heart She really began to share her heart for the Republic of Ireland. This was last year, and I kind of shelved it. And I thought, okay, that's nice, Kristen. Go back and do your job. I actually really did think that. And the Lord really slapped me on the side of the head just last, about 10 days ago, as the Lord began to say, look at your Cork campus differently, because I've got something different. I've got a but now moment for you. And the Lord began to quicken in my heart that the missing piece was actually Kristen Willett. And so I'm excited to announce that on August the 12th, Kristen is going to start getting on the ground in Cork to begin to start the activity of church planting as our interim campus pastor. Pastor Roland and Leanne are not far away in joining her, but we're going to relocate Kristen. Kristen, why don't you stand up? This is Kristen. We're going to relocate Kristen. There's people that already said yes to relocating from Perth to the Republic of Ireland as well. Kristen can get on the ground there, start receiving our team, and start all the activities that come with pioneering in the most unchurched English-speaking country in the world. But we're going to do something about that. Amen. So it's going to be absolutely incredible. And Pastor Roland and Leanne Murphy are still called to be our campus pastors in Cork. We just know that it's not long before we get that release, so you guys can also get on the ground. But we're going to plant out of strength, and we know that this is a God thing. It's just good to have some movement. And what the enemy has sought to delay, I just believe that God is going to accelerate. Amen. Amen. So I just want to encourage you guys in Port Kennedy and in Belmont as well to continue to pray. This next revival prayer night in July is going to be just massive. We're going to really take just the heart of God in prayer for the Republic of Ireland and as well as Australia. It's so cool. Today's Building a Future, as you'd have already heard. And today's the day where we take up our once-off offering to sow into the future of our church. I don't know if you've been in our church for very long, but if you've been here for some time, you understand that we're about the generations. That we're not just about the here and now. And I believe with all of my heart that the only way a church can go from strength to strength to strength, not just for a little season, but for generations, is to rally together as a whole church to intentionally sow into tomorrow. How many of you know that great futures don't happen accidentally? You've heard me say that a lot. And so today we're actually making a declaration for building a future that we're going to continue to sow into buildings like these for people like us. So if you call Nations Church your home, I want to encourage you today as I'm speaking, allow the heart of God to speak to you. And I know that for Belmont and Port Kennedy, it may seem like I'm coming through a screen, but you need to know that God can speak to you today. How many of you are so glad today that God has actually called us to have a shared future? I am so glad. I, for one, am so glad that I actually don't have to fulfill the Great Commission all on my own. that I actually don't have to fulfill the mandate and the call of God all on my own. I'm so glad about that, that I'm actually part of a body, that I actually have a shared future, that I can invest in the next generation so they can take on the mandate of God for the earth. I am so glad. Ken Fletcher, can you imagine fulfilling the mandate of God all on your own? It's insanity, and that was never part of God's design. It has been and always will be the heart of God that His people don't just live for themselves, but they live collectively as part of the body, and don't not just as part of the body for here and now, but to think generationally. We see the narrative of God from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible continuously speaking about the future. That's why we see words like Psalm 145, verse 4. It says this: one generation shall live for itself. Don't think about tomorrow. Does it say that? It says, one generation shall praise or commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty and remarkable acts. That's our responsibility. If you're wanting to know what God has called you to do in this life for the next generation, it's this: to commend or praise or declare the goodness of God to the next generation. There are many different translations on this passage of scripture. It's saying it in many different ways, but the picture is this: that God's people have always been called to be intentional and deliberate and unwavering in declaring the goodness of God to the next generation. It is on us to ensure that the perpetuation of the gospel message happens tomorrow, not just today. And if I could sum up what building our future really is all about, which is really the conversation that God wants to have to every disciple of God, it's simply this: that we ought to be contending for the next generation. Contending for the next generation. I want to speak to you guys about that today. For so many of us, you know, if you haven't figured it out yet, but we're living in uncertain days. We're living in secularly, we're living in uncertain days. And I don't know about you, but we are in a fight to keep the church of God alive and healthy and strong, not just now, but also tomorrow. We're in a fight to keep the church healthy and strong and perpetuate the gospel of Jesus Christ so people can encounter Jesus. And these are people that we have never met yet, in communities that this church isn't in yet, in cities that we have yet to put our foot down in. Come on, are you out there? There are people that need to encounter Jesus, to find Christ, to get baptized, to get set free from addiction, to get set free from bondages, to have their marriages restored, to see their prodigal children return. People that we've never met yet. And we ought to sow today to have the genuine, authentic community that we belong to right now. When God had in mind speaking or declaring to the next generation, He had in mind that whole idea of prophesying, of declaring, of contending for the future. The Bible has always talked about one generation doing the right thing, if you like, in our vernacular in Australia, doing the right thing, taking the responsibility for what it is to sow intentionally into tomorrow. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist actually compares and contrasts two different tribes. One is the tribe of Judah, to which the author of this psalm in Psalm 78, if we can put that up on the screen, actually says this as a declaration about what the tribe of Judah has conviction to do. It says this in verse 4, "We will not hide." This is the tribe of Judah writing, "We will not hide these truths from our children." That word "hide" is to not declare, not demonstrate, and not show evidence of. That's powerful, isn't it? They made a determination that we will not hide these truths from our children. We will, not may, not probably, not we might, not if we feel like it. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. "For He issued His laws to Jacob. He gave His instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation," say the next generation, "might know them, even the children not yet born." That's what we're contending for. I don't know about you, but we're actually contending for children not yet born. That's a whole different sermon altogether. "So the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children." To what end? Verse 7. "So each generation should set its hope anew on God." May the unborn children that will one day be born will set a new hope on God and the gospel be perpetuated, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. How powerful is that? I want to be that kind of tribe of people that honors God, that we don't forget that God has done something incredible in our day and in our season. The moves of God that we've seen in yesteryears have been seasonal because people forgot to perpetuate it. They basked in the glory of the moment. But God is we are currently in a move of God. I don't know about you, but we're currently in a move of God, but it can't stop with us. Then the psalmist continues to write after writing about the tribe of Judah, says this about the tribe of Ephraim. Says that the warriors of Ephraim, another tribe, though armed with bows, turned their backs and fled on the day of battle. This is what it looks like when people don't contend. Turned their backs. They did not keep God's covenant and they refused to live by His instructions. The same instructions that Judah was given to perpetuate, come on, to declare to the next generation. It's the same psalmist following on the same train of thought. They forgot what He had done. They forgot. Stop talking about it. And the great wonders He had shown them, they forgot it. The miracles He did for their ancestors in the plain of Zoan in the land of Egypt, they forgot it. I want to submit to you today that God has called us to have the same heart that the tribe of Judah had. To contend for the future. The tribe of Ephraim had the same number of arrows. They had the same number of bows. They had the same number in terms of size of army. Their tribe of Ephraim was about the same size as the tribe of Judah. But the reason why we don't talk about the tribe of Ephraim today is that when it came their turn to step up and contend for the future of their tribe, they turned their backs. They had the same amount of resource. They had the same capabilities to contend for the future of their tribe. Out of these two tribes, we don't never talk about the Ephraimites, do we? But God smiles on the tribe of Judah. Who is Jesus? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. We don't talk about the Ephraimites today. We don't even know who they are. But God chose to perpetuate the lineage of Christ through the tribe of Judah because they decided that it's not going to stop with us. It can't. There is so much more at stake than just our own deal right now. No one talks about the tribe of Ephraim, but thank God that one tribe actually decided that it's not going to stop with us. We're going to contend for the future generations. You know, I reckon so many churches and even so many leaders for that matter never actually choose to teach about this. Building our future, about sowing into the future, because thinking generationally and thinking about sowing selflessly actually takes great courage. It actually takes great courage. Have you ever thought about it like this? It actually requires no courage to receive blessing. What do you need courage for? You just need faith and maybe an open heart. But it requires no courage to receive blessing. And trust me, believe you me, across all campuses, I would much rather just preach blessing and favor. Because you guys are going to love me for that. I'd much rather just preach mercy. And it's great. And they're all fundamental parts of the gospel. In fact, as a leader, I'd much rather just raise money for need because it's very appealing. It can pull on the heartstrings. But what is required of our church is not to take the shortcuts that often churches take. We're a church that's about the generations. And to do that, we need to step out of immediate just blessing to stepping into courage, to making some courageous decisions, because it takes courage to sow into a future we cannot see. It takes no courage to give to need we can see right now. But it takes great courage to go, I don't know where this is going to go, but we're going to trust that one day God... You see, generational thinking actually requires courage. Yeah. It requires great courage to step into a place where I'm not even so sure about my own future, but I'm going to step into a place where I'm going to believe and dare to believe that God, you're going to do something with what I'm sowing today for people I've never met yet, to encounter you and your presence in buildings that aren't even built yet, to be in cities that we've never even put up. It takes great courage. It takes great courage and it requires great selflessness. But I reckon this is why it's such a fundamental attribute of God. It is actually very God-like to think generationally. I don't know about you, but you've been called to be image bearers. So what we're doing today actually restores us back to our rightful place as being His image bearers. And we're not going to live for ourselves. And when it's time to step up to contend in the future, we're not going to be like the tribe of Ephraim that turn our back and go, it's not our problem. They can figure it out themselves, that we're going to step up to the plate like the tribe of Judah. To say that we will not forget the miracles that God has done for us, and it can't stop with us. For the generation not yet born. Paul understood this when he was teaching this to the New Testament church. He understood the heart of God for God's people, for the early church. And as Paul, being a Jewish teacher, was teaching it to the Gentile world, if you like, or the non-Jewish world, to predominantly a mixture of Jewish listeners as well as non-Jewish listeners, to the ancient hearers, because you got to understand, when we're reading texts out of the Bible, the people that were hearing it back then, to which these texts are quoted, didn't actually have the Bible. Makes sense to you? The Bible was being written as Paul was saying it. And so Paul had to use metaphors or word pictures that immediately the early hearers would understand. Paul mentions two things that immediately conjured up exactly the heart of God, exactly what God had in mind. He mentions seed and he mentions bread. For us, we go, okay, well, that's nice, but we're city people, right? We're 21st century Western people. What does that even mean? Paul, when he mentioned seed and he mentioned bread, immediately the early hearers had an impression, a picture, they had a revelation. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10. He's teaching the Corinthian church about perpetuating, about future and now. Now and future. Temporary and eternal. Makes sense to you? He's saying this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, most of us going, okay, that's nice, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Some of us go, what does that even mean? I'll explain that to you in just a second. Verse 11, Paul says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Okay, bread, seed, what even does that mean? The Bible says God supplies seed and bread. The Bible says God supplies seed. You can't see it because it's very small. Yeah. But I have a seed in my hand. Yeah. But God also supplies bread. How many of you like bread? Yeah. How many of you, bread is your weakness? Yeah. Bread and Lopak. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Belmont Port Kennedy going off right now. Bread and butter. Awesome. Fresh bread. Freshly baked bread. Carb loading. Paul says, God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. It is God that gives both. But to the early hearers, they knew immediately what bread was. Bread was a blessing for today. It's for you to eat today. How many of you know bread's only good for a day? Right? Bread has no future. Only an expiry date. Bread has no future. But everything that a fruit tree needs to be a fruit tree to bear fruit for the future is already in this seed. It's the divine order of God that everything that a whole harvest one day in the future can become is already in this seed. Can I just invite Alex up? Alex, give Alex a big hand. She's my front of house girl. Come and stand here. God will give Alex bread for food and seed for sowing. This is us. Alex represents every single one of us. God doesn't just give us seed, and He doesn't just give us bread. He gives us bread for food and seed for sowing. The early hearers understood bread for food, seed for sowing. One has a future, one hasn't. Bread for food, seed for sowing. Bread and seed both represent currency. What it becomes is completely dependent on how we use it. We all have currency. But how we use it to buy that nice top, that pair of shoes, go out for dinner, or sow into the future harvest is completely dependent on us. Bread is amazing. We love it. We need it for sustenance. God said, I want to give you that. But you also need to know, in your hand is also seed. Do you understand that? In your hand is also seed. If you want to know what God is passionate about, watch what He brings increase to. If you want to know what is close to the heart of God, watch what He accelerates in your life. This is gonna help you. Read again, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Put it up on the screen. It's so important. What does Paul say that God is going to increase? Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your bread. Does it say that? Then why is it that we always keep praying, God, give us more bread? God saying, you haven't read my word. I will give you bread, but I will increase your seed. Because that is what I'm about. As this is the narrative from Genesis to Revelation. Understand? So this is what building our future is all about. If you want to sum it up in word picture, it's simply this. We need to transition from bread Christian to seed disciples. This is a discipleship conversation. For too long, the church has been stuck here, which is great. We believe in God. God bless me. I need more blessing. I want more. I need that. I want to have that. That is mine. Fantastic. God says, I'm going to give that to you. But ultimately, I want you to step into being a seed disciple. Because it doesn't look as appealing. And I know that all you want to do is eat bread and carb load. But I'm increasing your seed. This is what God is expecting of us. And this is what seed is all about. Jesus says this, John 12. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat, seed, whatever it is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death, when you plant it, when you sow it, will produce many new kernels. Put in their souls. Put in their people you haven't met yet. A plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it, because there's an expiry date on your bread. Come on, if you're holding on to bread, it's going to get stale tomorrow. It doesn't belong in your house. Come on, at best, it's going to end up being croutons or fed to your rabbits. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. This is discipleship stuff. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Can I take this up another level? When we talk about building a future, seed is no good still in Alex's hand. Alex has got to let it die. Sow it into the ground, into somewhere where she's not. And trust that as she's sowing it and she takes a step back, everything that God intended for that seed to become, future harvest, that the Lord will do its work. But I can tell you now, the Lord cannot do anything with that seed had it stayed in her hand, because seeds don't grow on the palm of your hand. It grows in the soil of the local church. It grows in the soil of the kingdom. Suddenly, when you sow, when you let it die, when you sacrifice it, all of those motifs, when you allow it to be crushed, to be sacrificed, to die, to be left out of your hand, suddenly God does what God does with it. We didn't know the kind of church that we would become, but thank God 15 years ago, I had a handful of people that were willing to go, I'm not a bread Christian, I'm a seed disciple, I'm going to tip it into the soil. I don't know where it's going to go, but look at us now. Look at what God's done now. Give Alex a big hand. You might think today, building a future, oh, it's Pastor Ken fundraising again. This guy, I don't care if you don't give today. I care about you being a disciple. I care about you stepping into a discipleship life that matters more about tomorrow than about today, because I don't know about you, I don't know if you've actually thought about it, and I think about it a lot, but the day is going to come where we're all going to stand before Jesus one day and give an account for the life we're living right now. My whole job is not, yes, buildings, people just like us, all of those things. Yes, that's where, you know, the lost found disciples made nations reach. But ultimately, if you were to distill it down, my whole job is to prepare you for eternity. Yeah. It's to prepare you to have that conversation with God one day. Paul says this to Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we, believers, will be called to account and must all. Some of you want a free pass to not have that conversation. But Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, his purposes, his goals, his motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, abilities, resource, etc., etc. I'm so glad that over the last 15 years, I've had the privilege of sowing with like-minded seed disciples. With some of you, many of you have never met them. Many of them are no longer in this church, but they're going to have a conversation with God one day, and Jesus is going to say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, for 10 years, our church had no home, nowhere to do ministry from or reach people, apart from Sunday and Friday nights in a hired hall. We had to beg a city council to give us some time in the booking. But in 2015, we finally purchased this building here in Myrie, number 10 Hayden Court. And as soon as we manned up and started to have a stake in the ground and say, hey, we're no longer a nomadic, transient church, but we're here to stay, it's almost like God opened the floodgates of heaven. One campus became two, it became three, it became four. Since 2015 alone, and this is going to bless you, I didn't realize this until I started to look at it, but since 2015 alone, when we purchased our building, so not about the life of the last 15 years, but since the last 5 years, in Myrie alone, we've seen over 1,100 people give their life to Jesus or rededicate. In Belmont, almost 300. Port Kennedy, 200. Phnom Penh, 500. And that's it's incredible. All campuses, we've baptized over 320 people in our own buildings. We've dedicated 160 babies. We had over 2,200 praise reports, recorded miracles, just in our current buildings. Just in our current buildings. And building our future has been an incredible means, a vehicle to accelerate that. It's such an important time for me personally. Today is incredibly significant because whenever it comes to building our future, I feel very personal about it. I feel very personal about it. For those of you who don't know our story, in 2012, our youngest boy, Isaiah, was diagnosed with Mowat-Wilson syndrome. It's a rare genetic syndrome, and which means that he's got special needs. I actually think that my boy's just special. How many of you met Isaiah? He's pretty special, isn't he? I just think that he's pretty special. And in our early years, when we were in the Melville Civic Center and in Blue Gum Community Center, My boy grew up in a kids' church program where he was always the odd one out. And particularly in his jump age, he was. We were at Blue Gum Community Center where you had to walk about half a K to a random building on the other side. Remember those days, Mike? Mike's giggling because he's breaking out in a sweat now. He's so traumatized from those days. And my boy would just be the disabled boy in a jump program that never really catered for him. He would just try and get by and maybe dance to a few songs and do what he could to survive those years in jump. Just last year, we piloted a program called Heroes Academy. And it's for heroes, special kids. Because we believe every kid is super. And wow, I'm trying to get this a live stream, Ken. Come on. And just this year, we piloted, when we started our 4 p.m. service, a Heroes Academy for our weekly services in Jump. I'm giving today to sow into a Heroes Academy that my own son will never be a part of because he's too old. But I believe that there are special kids like Isaiah that will be in buildings just like these in the days ahead. And we're going to declare that to those families that you are not alone, that you are not marginalized, that you are not forgotten, that you are not unnoticed, that you will not have barriers to engaging with the gospel because your kid struggles. And that's just one part of church life for me. And you know, that's why this thinking goes way beyond the transactional. God, if I give to you, you're going to bless me. It's going to be great. You know, yeah, there's all of that going on, and I'm sure there'll be great blessing. But I want to say this to you today, that we are living today in the harvest of other people's seed in years gone by. You're living in that harvest right now. You're living in that harvest right now. You're sitting on chairs that other people have paid for. I'm not asking you to pay people back. This is not a guilt trip. I'm just asking you to step out of being a bread Christian to stepping into seed discipleship. Past people have contended for the future that we are now living in as our present. And I don't know about you, but I am not standing here today to ask you to give. If you think I'm standing here today to ask you to give, I am not. I'm standing here today to give with you. Yeah. Once again. This is my 15th year. I was there right at the start. Yeah. I'm asking if you would give with me again today. Yeah. For those of you that don't know how this works, I can tell you the day is going to come where you're all going to go, PK, I think we've had enough of your jokes now. Time for us to get another leader. That day's going to come. And you guys will tap me out and buy me a box of Cadbury roses. And you'll get me a really nice card, and some of you will say some really nice things. The staff will cut a Woolies cheesecake in the kitchen on my last day. It's going to happen. That day's coming. I've played it out in my head many times. I'm going to hand my keys to Boy. He's going to smile and go, PK, your computer as well. That's how he rolls. I've got a cardboard packing box in my office, which my stapler, my calculator, and my four favorite pens are going to go into. I'm going to drive home that day, and I will leave the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that Chrissy and I have sowed into building our future for the next generation, just like you will. Just like you will. Just like you will. In 2006, I stood outside the Melville Civic Center, freezing cold, one June, and I thought, I'm so sick of this. Only 2 years after church planting, I nearly wanted to quit. I said, God, we're going to have a building in the city of Melville one day. We're going to have a building in the city of Melville one day. This is where you're sitting in. In 2016, I stood at a street corner in Bong Tompun, one of the big districts in Phnom Penh. And Shannon and Tamara had only been there for 9 months, and I was standing in the street corner. I remember that night so clearly. There was tuk-tuks everywhere. And for those of you that have been in Phnom Penh, there is a smell that just never goes away. And I stood there with a stray dog licking my ankle. I remember it so clearly. Rubbish littered everywhere. You know Phnom Penh. Rubbish littered everywhere. And I said, God, we're going to have a building here one day. Yeah. Last Sunday, I stood on a stage in Bong Tom Pun of a building that we built last year. Yes. I saw a mom lead her little Down syndrome girl. Come on, mom. And she put, oh, this is a live stream. This is ridiculous. I'm so sorry, Belmont Paul Kennedy. And they came up while the song was going and people were worshiping, and as we're going to do today. And they're so declaring, though our nation has a genocide past, it's got a gospel future. Wow. We're going to sow today because I'm believing that we're going to have a building in Cork.
Yes.
For little Irish heroes. I better stop. Can we just throw to the video? Wonderful. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to participate in today's Building Our Future. And so if you would like an envelope so you can fill in or you're giving, just quickly put your hand up right now. So our ushers, some of you have already come prepared, but if you haven't, we're going to give you time right now. May the Lord speak to you. What you give is completely between you and God. If you open the envelope, you've got the full brochure, and at the back, you've got a perforated card with all of the things that you need to fill in. That is what you need to tear off and put into the envelope. Put in the total amount that you want to give as a once-off today, or whether you want to pledge or do both. There are 5 ways to give: by giving cash, which is what you put into the envelope, by a check made out to Nations Church, Inc., also put into the envelope, by credit card, and you will need to put in your full details, Visa and MasterCard only. Put in your name, credit card number, expiry date, sign, You can also give online, which is via the Nations Church app or through our website, or also by direct transfer. So that's the five ways that you can give on one side of the perforated card. On the back, please fill in your contact details. If you're known by more than one name in several different states, please put all of your names down. All of your names down. If you're known by one name but you have a different legal name, put that down as well. That really helps us. Your address and email. This is really important. You can take advantage of the tax deductible facility which we have for our buildings. However, it has restricted use. So it is very helpful for us if you don't access that facility, but you can. Our family is actually giving half and half. We're splitting where we are accessing the tax deductible function and getting a receipt for half of what we're giving, and then the other half we're foregoing that. But it's completely up to you. But it would be helpful for us if you can give and not access the tax deductible facility. That will be fantastic. I'm going to give you some time now to fill in that card as the Lord begins to speak to you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.